But do we really understand this truth of God's word? That if He really is going to increase, we really got to decrease. I mean, if He's really going to get the praise, if He's really going to get the glory, if He's really going to do a work, if He's really going to transform your marriage, if He's really going to transform your home, if He's really going to transform your church, He really has to increase, and we really got to decrease.
And I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It's a joy to have you listening today, and our prayer is that you'll be challenged and motivated to live for Christ like never before. Well, I don't know about you, but I need to be fed through Scripture today. And so let's go to God's Word now, and let's see what He has to say.
Take your Bible and turn to 1 John. 1 John 4, 5 through 6. 1 John 4, 5 through 6. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God ran? Aren't you glad that when we could not run, that He ran? That He ran to us? That He saw us in our need, and He didn't give us the second best or the third best or the tenth best, but He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus the Christ. Doesn't that get you excited? Doesn't that encourage you? You know, I was thinking through this past week, you know, are we of God, or is the reality, are we of the world? You know, that's a tough question, because I think the reality, if you and I answered it honestly, is that there's probably some moments during the week that we're really not of God, but we're really of the world. That we lose it here, we lose it there, we do this, we don't do this, we go here, we watch this, we think this, and we're not living in God, we're not walking with God, but we're really walking in us and what we want to do and our sin and our pride and our ego. And the reality is, we really got to answer the question this morning is, are we of God or are we of the world? Because Jesus did say that you're either for me or you're against me. And if you're in between, you're like Laodicea in Revelation 3. And He would rather vomit us out of His mouth. And I don't think any of us would want to sign up for that, would we? But here's what the devil does, though. He hoodwinks us. He deceives us, as we've talked about before. And he does that D-cubed thing that has really been heavy on my heart right now. Because he distracts us. He discourages us. And then he does everything in his power as he's distracted and discouraging to take it to the third step of the D cubed, which is to destroy us and destroy our faith. That is his mission. I promise you this, the devil is not for you. The devil is not for you. He will tell you he's for you. And he will do everything he can to get you to think he's for you, because he's the master distractor, right? And that's step number one. He distracts us away from what we should be doing. He dangles the carrot. He lays it out there and he says, here, go chase this. Go chase that. Do this. Do this. Go pursue self. Go pursue your desires. Go do whatever you want to do. Do everything but pursue God. And he uses this tactic for some people and this tactic for others. But the bottom line is, he is intent on destroying our faith. He's intent on destroying your family. He's intent on destroying the church. But we have one option, and that's to give glory and praise to the name of God our Father. You know, what he does is he gets us so distracted that we're following him around. That's the devil. Almost like a puppy dog. We follow him around like a puppy dog, and we're chasing after the problems of yesterday and not living in the God of today. And so we got to realize that we got to get a focus. We got to get a desire to pursue God and pursue Him over. Here's what he wants to do. It's not always the action that we're taking that's the problem. Many times it's the action that we are not taking that's the problem. It's not always the action we're taking. Oh, we go to church, and we went to Sunday school, we wore the right thing, we said the right thing, we stood the right way, we sang the right songs. Oh, those are all wondrous, glorious things. But what about the action we're not taking? What about going across the street to the neighbor and saying, Jesus loves you and so do I? But do we really understand this truth of God's Word? That if He really is going to increase, we really got to decrease. I mean, if he's really going to get the praise, if he's really going to get the glory, if he's really going to do a work, if he's really going to transform your marriage, if he's really going to transform your home, if he's really going to transform your church, he really has to increase and we really got to decrease. That's the key to the Christian life. The Christian life is all about surrender. It's not about doing the right things. It's about living in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do we want you and do we want me to do the right things? Of course we do, don't we? But there's nothing that you and I can do to get us to heaven by being good people. There's going to be a lot of good people, according to this wonderful book, that miss heaven and go straight to hell. A lot of good people. That sounds mean. No, that's not mean. That's how God set it up. He set it up that there's only one way to get to Him, and that's through His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And so here in 1 John, here's what he writes in 1 John chapter 4, 5 through 6. He writes this to that Gnostic, unbelieving, heretical culture that mirrors 2012 so beautifully. It says this, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. Verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do we understand? Have we gotten the point yet? Has the light bulb clicked on? Has there been the aha moment in your life and my life where we really, really begin to understand that our main focus in this life is to give glory to God in every and any situation? We are here to purposely promote Him, not purposely promote us. We are here to exalt His name. We are here to take His glorious word and put it on a pedestal and put it high and lift it up so that the whole world will see. We are here to shine His light. We are here to shine His love. We are here so that He does the work in South Tampa that only He can do, because I can promise all of us this. We can all get in a holy huddle. We can have the greatest ideas, the greatest plans, but if God's not in it, it's going to fail. But when He's in it, He can take a mustard seed of faith and He can make a way where there seems to be no way. And so here in this book here in 1 John, John is writing and he's saying this, they, being those false prophets, those heretics, they are of the world. Now what's it mean to be of the world? Well, real simply, it's that we're living a lifestyle that is countercultural to the Bible, to God and His glory, and we're living according to the world. We are, you may have heard this phrase, and I love this one too, it's, we're walking with God. Well, what they are doing is they are not walking with God. There is not that intimate fellowship. There is not that closeness. There is not that communion, if you will, the daily walking beside God as He leads and we follow. That's what he's saying here. So he's saying, look, they are of the world. They don't have godly principles. They don't have Jesus in mind. All they have is self, self, and more self. You ever been around someone who professes the name of Jesus, but yet after just a few minutes of verbal conversation, you can see very clearly that Jesus is not their Lord. He's just really been made some manufactured thing they do on a Sunday because it oozes through them that it's about them, 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 and more them. And within a heartbeat you go, dude, what's going on here? What is going on here? You are literally exuding, you are showing, you are a billboard for all to see that you are professing the name of Jesus, but yet you're a billboard showing that you're really just following yourself. That's what the world does. That's what Satan does. We are inundated and brainwashed daily that it's all about us, aren't we? I mean, we're told on the TV commercials, it's all about you. Go for the gusto. if you buy this house, drive this car, invest in this investment, eat this food, that God is somehow just going to gloriously, wonderfully, beautifully just take care of you. But we got to figure this out from God's Word, from His Scripture, that those who follow Christ, it doesn't always end good. He allows us to go through the trial. He allows you to have the child that's wayward. He allows you to lose your job. He allows you to go through financial calamity. He allows. Why? For those He loves, He chastens, the Word says. Do we understand that we need to start embracing that we don't want to be of the world, but we are in the world? I mean, the reality is we're in the world, right? We may not like the world. We may not like the circumstances of the world, but we are in the world. So here's what the mature Christian will do. The mature Christian, Jesus Christ, will say, look, I don't like the circumstances. It's not what I want. It's not what I prefer. But I'm in the world, and I know I'm in the world, and I know because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ that my number one calling is to give Him glory, to give Him praise, regardless of where I am. So guess what I'm going to do? Even though I'm in a circumstance I don't like, I'm going to give Him glory, honor, and praise. See, what happens when we do that is you are going to be transformed like you've never known before. And there's going to be people all around you that go, what is it you have? How do you have the joy? How do you have the peace? How do you go through these things? Oh, it's because of Jesus. And here goes the witnessing. Do you see how this works? See, they are of the world. They're false prophets. They speak as though they're of the world. Well, you say, well, what do you mean from Scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to give you a couple here. Listen to this. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. That sounds pretty logical, doesn't it? And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Are we all tracking together? Here it is. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Well, the mouth's a dangerous tool, isn't it? It can edify. It can lift up. But boy, in a heartbeat, it can tear down. It can destroy. You ever wondered why we have one mouth and two ears? Think that was an accident? Think God went, uh-oh, whoops, I gave Adam two ears. Oh, sorry, you're stuck with it. I don't think it was an accident. Actually, I know it wasn't because God doesn't make accidents, amen? He gave us two ears because we're to be what? Quick to listen and slow to, but some of us has got it all the way backwards, don't we? Oh, we're eager to talk, aren't we? We want everyone to hear what we think, right? Oh, sometimes we just need to zip it and say, you know what? I'm not going to say what I'm thinking because maybe what I'm thinking is not from God, but maybe it's from myself. See, we got to be careful that we don't speak as though we're of the world. We got to be careful what we say because many times it's really rooted in our heart. Many times it's bitterness and anger and deceit and envy and all these things that fester up in there. And if we're not careful, we blurt this out and the damage sometimes is irreparable. 2 Timothy 3:1-9. This is what the Word of God says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Here we go. You ready? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households, and they make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by the various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. And here it is, verse 9. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. What does that say in a nutshell? It says this, that our sinful desires of being proud and arrogant and self-serving may not be exposed on this day, but there will be a day when it will be exposed for all to see. You can only hoodwink people. You can't hoodwink God. It's impossible. And so here it is. If we're really living in God, we're going to have a repetitive, residual speech that honors God. Do we ever slip up? Whoever slips up in here besides me? I've slipped up. But we're going to have something in us that is very repetitive. It's very habitual that people will see and they will know us by our fruits. And part of our fruits are not just what we do, but many times it's what we say. If we really love God and if we're really spending time daily in His Word and in prayer to Him, our speech and our behavior will give evidence that we're reflecting everything to Him and His glory. I mean, that's really hard to get to, especially if you've grown up in religious circles and you've grown up in what's going on in our culture today from religion, because we're constantly brainwashed and we're fed this bunch of lies that, again, it's really all about you. It's all about you and your comfort. It's all about self-help. And just dig down deep enough. And God wants you to be blessed. No, God wants you to be obedient. That's where He does the work. And some of us are fighting and clawing all the way, aren't we? God's saying, I'm taking you down this road. And you're going, well, wait a minute. I got these plans. I want you to get on my page. And we are kicking and we are screaming. And if we would just let go and let God and watch Him work, oh, what about the beauty that might come from that as we trust Him and faith Him, as we simply say, God, I don't like it. I don't want to go down it, but I'm going to trust You with such faith right now. I'm going to be so bold. Give me the mustard seed so that wherever You're taking me, I can simply say, whether You give or You take away, I'm going to bless Your name. The next part of the verse just kind of recaps. And he says this, and the world hears them. So here we go in context. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Have you ever picked up on this? That followers of evil and people that actually exhibit evil love to hang around together. You know that old phrase, misery loves company, doesn't it? But I was thinking through this, and I was just thinking to myself going, you know, the real question is not that, you know, we hear the false teacher, because we know the false teachers are out there. But the real question is this, it's not so much that we're hearing them. The real question is the world outside these walls seeing and hearing the gospel living out through us? Do the people at work, do they see you and go, hey, he or she's not perfect, but they got to be a Christ follower? Do the people at the retirement center see you and go, oh, he or she is not perfect, but they have to be a Christ follower? Do the people at the coffee shop that you go to every morning, do they see you? And because of your encouragement, because of your non-complaining attitude, because of how you greet people and you love people and you're concerned, and do they look at you and go, oh, boy, they're not perfect, but man, they must be following this Jesus guy.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Please make a note that all of these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message and let's see what God's Word has to say.
See, there are those in the world and we will know them. They speak as of the world and we hear them. And here's the last part. Verse 6, he who knows God, he hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, is John saying that because they're speaking and preaching the gospel, that they're hearing a glorious message that John himself has come up with, and he's so wonderful, and he's drawing attention unto himself? Is that what John is saying, but they hear us? No. What John is really saying is, look, I'm just the vessel. I'm the PVC pipe. I'm the conduit. God and His glory as it runs through my life, John says, shows a lost and dying world how great my God is. Oh, they're hearing the gospel. And let me tell you something this morning, church family. There is nothing more exciting than hearing and knowing that people in South Tampa are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is exciting. Why is it exciting? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is what transforms. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what will set you free. Oh, the gospel of Jesus Christ is what will do a work. The gospel of Jesus Christ is it. And there is nothing else. I was thinking through some scripture. Just thinking that, you know, there will be people that will blatantly reject the gospel. You may know of them. Maybe you have a family member this morning. That the reality is, we can sugarcoat it all we want, but at the end of the day, they have blatantly said, no. Not for me. For those that you have in your family, this is my encouragement to you, that are saying, you know what, no. My encouragement is pray for them. Pray for them daily. Get on your knees daily and say, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for removing the scales. Thank you for removing the blinders. Oh, I pray that you, for so-and-so, put their name in the blank. Please, oh, Lord, remove the scales from their eyes. Because there is truth, and that's God. There's truth, that's the gospel. And there is deceit, and there's error, and that's only from the devil himself. I was thinking of this verse here, two verses, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. And this is what Paul writes to Timothy. He says this, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. What will we call those people who've departed from the faith? What will we call them? We would call them apostates, right? We just learned that this morning. And here's what it goes on to say. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Boy, that sounds spooky, doesn't it? It may sound spooky, but take this one to the bank. It's real. It may sound spooky, but take it to the bank. This is God's word. There is deceit. There's the demonic going after it. And I promise us all this, that it is warring after those who have not claimed Jesus Christ. But yet it's also warring after us who have, amen? And I'll tell you what, the devil works on us, doesn't he? He wants to decube all of us, doesn't he? He wants to distract, he wants to discourage, and I promise us he wants to destroy our faith. That's why we got to stand tall. We got to have that action plan in place, and we say, oh, even no matter what comes, I will not waver. I will not waver. I don't care who says what. What happens? I don't care who wins the election. I will serve the Lord. That's when we make a difference. Why do people speak against God? It's really simple. Satan has taken them captive. Literally. He takes us captive. He takes a little bit of truth and mixes it with a lot of deceit, and we come out with an equation equal to bondage. You say, well, how do you know? Well, here's what the scripture says. 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You mean there's people that literally are so deceived by what's going on that they're ensnared, that they're taken captive to do not God's will, but to do Satan's will? And the answer from God's word is a resounding yes. You may even know some of these people. It happens in homes where Satan gets the dad, and what is the next train wreck that follows after he gets dad? You see it. He takes the whole family with him. You've seen it. You've seen it where people are in church. They're supposedly worshiping the Lord. It's supposedly all about God and His glory. Something happens. They don't get their way. And what happens next? Dad gets all bent out of shape, and he takes his whole family with him down the drain. It's because he's been deceived. There is a deceiver, and his name is Satan. That's why we've got to be on our guard. We've got to be on our guard. We've got to be vigilant. Why? Because the devil, our adversary, he prowls around us like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour and destroy. It's not going to matter that we were a good church member. It's not going to matter that we say, well, I was a good Baptist. What's going to matter is that we were a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to matter. I was thinking as I prepare to close here this morning of a text that I hope will encourage you. And so I came back to 2 Chronicles. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture, chapter 20. And there you will have the great Jehoshaphat was there. And here's what happened. I'm just going to read a few verses. It's many, many verses. But listen closely of what happens in this entire chapter of 20. And I pray you'll be encouraged. I pray that if you came in here discouraged, that you'll be encouraged. And this is what it says. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you." And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Now let's just pause there for just a moment. Is this a wonderful example of what we should be doing? The enemy's coming against him, or in your life or my life, we could say we've encountered a problem. Oh, my encouragement to you this morning is to, number one, first and foremost, seek the Lord. Get on your hands and knees, get on your face and seek the Lord. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. And here's what he says, but I love it. But our eyes are on you. Isn't that awesome? Lord, we're going to seek you. We know they're of the world and they speak of the world. We know there's false prophets and we know there's people that infiltrate homes and churches to try to do deception on behalf of the evil one. They're coming at us. We don't know what to do. We're going to seek you, but our eyes are on you. Then the Spirit of the Lord came and he said this. Don't you love this? Listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And all God's people said. Do we understand this? Is it clicking? That yes, we are in this world and we don't like it, it's ugly, it's nasty, but do we understand that the battle isn't ours? When we're living in Christ, when we have that on us, that blood that covers us, that sinless atonement, that is that propitiation and imputation, that we no longer have to bear our sin anymore, do we understand that the victory's already been won? Do not fear or be dismayed, he closes in verse 17. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I don't know what you got to do this afternoon. I don't know where you got to go this week. I don't know the trouble. I don't know what you're fearing to do. But I promise you this. If you're a believer, a genuine believer in Jesus Christ and truly blood-bought, I can promise you on God's word, do not fear, do not be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.
You have been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. These messages are recorded at Manhattan Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. Each week we hear from listeners who are being blessed by the teaching of God's Word. And we would love to hear from you as well. You can email us at info@thisdayministries.org, or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida, 33508. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's all go out intentionally and urgently this day, and let's go make a difference for Jesus Christ.